teenagers with attitude.
Three of them.
Almost.
It's been how long? 20-something years? And some of these people don't look like they've aged a day. Walter. He's a crossover with Marvel. He's an LMD. So today we've got some of the originals, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Is everybody ready? Is it time? If it were time, what time would it be?
Morphin time!
What?
Morphin time!
Lee is here. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Austin, Walter, David, and Karen, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. One more time, it's Morphin time! Woo! So we're going to do a little Q&A. Flash photography is allowed. We've got a microphone set up here, we've got a microphone set up here, we've got a microphone set up here for your enjoyment, so don't be shy. I'll start out with a little bit. Hi, guys.
Why are all of you back there? You should move closer.
Come on up and
come closer. They won't let you?
Don't let them think that they're just the good-looking people.
Yeah.
Come on.
Move closer. Please.
Let's bring up all the beautiful people.
We
want to
feel your energy.
Exactly.
We need you close to us.
If the Rangers say it's cool with us.
When he was talking about flash photography, that doesn't mean you can take your clothes off and then take a picture.
Right.
Okay.
Let's clarify that, please.
Keep that in mind.
Outside of the convention center, you do what you like.
Right.
What's up, Washington, D.C.? Yeah, awesome con, awesome con. We're glad to be here. Some of us were here last year. This year, we got Austin St. John in the building. Miss Karen Ashley. Yeah, so.
Mr. David Yost right here.
David Yost.
And Walter Jones is in the house.
So we got a mic stand up over there. Who's got something to say? Because I'm ready to hear it.
Go to the mics if you have a question. Oh, we have three mics? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, we got three of them.
We got mics all over the place.
I think there's a Green Ranger over here.
Start with Green Ranger.
To the left.
He's behind the lights.
Stage. All right,
what's on your mind, man?
Well, I have one question for you.
I like your voice.
Have you ever had the feeling that the Green Ranger and the White Ranger should have been different Rangers?
No.
I don't know, you should ask the Green and the White Ranger. I don't know.
You know what, I think he worked out pretty well for the show. Man, I got nothing but love.
Yeah. I think story-wise it worked out perfect.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I've been thinking.
And
maybe I should be the White Ranger.
I think so.
You know what?
Yes.
Now that you say that, I can see it.
Or the Green Ranger. Whichever one works.
Yeah, hold on. Flex. Show me some guns.
Yeah, let's see. Okay.
Yes. That's it.
Yeah. One more.
It's about to get real. It's about to get real. Look out.
That's called commitment. Yeah.
Oh, look out. There it was.
Okay. Let's go in the middle.
Thank you, brother.
Right here in the center. Hey, I asked this question to Walter yesterday. How'd you guys feel about the fan-made online Power Ranger bit?
The forbidden question. I liked it. I mean, I thought it was very entertaining. It obviously wasn't Power Rangers. Like, it's not G extra cheese, you know what I'm saying? But I thought for everybody over 18, it was amazing to watch, and it was really cool. I love creative people and I love creative energy, so the fact that someone was so creative and they really took the time and the production value was so high, I was very happy about that. But it's a kids show, so I kind of like the G extra cheese as well. So
I guess the thing about it is, what we don't want to happen is we don't want any kids to look up Power Rangers on the internet and see that come up, and then that's what they they see, because that's right. Not something you want to share with kids.
Yeah, no. It's over 18 only.
Yeah. Right. But other than that, it was kind of cool.
I really like the Zach character. I thought his character got all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
No.
Dude, I didn't know you did cocaine.
No!
We missed all those trouble years.
That wasn't me.
It was a really well-kept secret until, like, what? When the video came out, nobody knew.
Months ago.
Now everybody knows.
That's why he was always dancing so much. It's crazy.
Hip-hop keto. Hip-hop keto.
My crack is water.
Great question. Thank you. Let's go over here.
Hi, y'all.
Hey.
First, I want to say thanks for coming out here and doing this and talking to us and being cool. My question is for David. Quick lead up to the question. Power Rangers really helped me out growing up as a kid. It, you know, teaches lessons and taught you to share and not be a gross teenager when you grow up and all that good stuff. But I was struggling with something else, and one of the episodes really helped me out. It was in the first season, the Nightmare Crystal, and it was the first and I think only time where you, Austin, had your shirt completely off.
Woo! Google that episode tonight.
It's on YouTube. It's real good. Little 9-year-old me figured out, I like dudes. From that episode.
See what you did? You did that.
Red Ranger forever. Thanks.
I'm really Googling that episode tonight.
Nightmare Crystal. It's a good time. So, David, to shift real fast. After the show, you went through some stuff. You went through a journey, coming to terms with your sexuality, and I was hoping you could go into some details about the drama that happened afterwards and who and what helped you come to terms and find your inner ranger.
Okay. I'll try to make it brief, though. I don't want to labor this too much. I struggled my whole life with my sexuality and trying to figure that out. Coming on the end of Power Rangers.
Don't leave.
Coming to the end of Power Rangers is when I started to realize, you know, I really need to make a decision. But unfortunately, the decision I was making was not a smart decision. I decided that I would put myself through conversion therapy, which is the belief that if you pray to God long enough, that you can, God will get rid of your gayness, kind of thing. So I read 5 different Bibles religiously every day, and I prayed a lot, and I went to therapists, and I sought out psychics and all kinds of spiritual healers to try to rid me of being gay. Unfortunately, that wasn't the smartest thing, and eventually it led me to have a nervous breakdown, and I had to check into the hospital, and I was in the hospital for 5 weeks, and that's when I started learning to accept who I was. So,
and thank God you did that.
I can relate to a lot of people. I obviously struggled with suicide quite a bit my whole life, but really in those, from the time I was on Power Rangers up until the time I had my nervous breakdown, there were at least 3 times where I was very close to committing suicide. So
I would have kicked your butt.
Right.
Me too.
Right.
So there's helplines out there now. I wish when I was growing up, the Trevor Project is an amazing suicide hotline. There's the National Suicide Hotline. So if anybody ever has thoughts like that, there's lots of help for you. And you can always overcome and get through everything. So thank you very much for asking that question. That means a lot.
Thank you.
So on a lighter note, David.
Hold on 1 second.
On a lighter note, David, there was, you were always the brains of Billy, was always the brains of the outfit, and you created a flying car even. So, where's our flying cars, first of all? And beyond that, what piece of Power Rangers technology do you wish we had in 2015?
Obviously the communicator, so we could just teleport wherever we wanted to go.
Yes.
So that would be the best one, I think.
The rest of you?
I don't know about that, because imagine this, all right, we're out here right now. Now, not now as many of you are parents, but imagine being a child, having a communicator, and no matter where you went, you'd be out doing something, and you always know that mom knows. I mean, I know Zordon was good, but mom always knows.
Yes.
And you're out there, you're playing with the kids, you're about to throw a rock at somebody, you know better, all of a sudden, doo, 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 doo. Johnny, don't you throw that rock, boy. Let me come over there. I will take my shoe off.
The world would be a better place, I think.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there'd be certain things, but we'd have to have limitations, you know? It'd be like, no mom on the
communicators.
You know, Zordon, superheroes, and troublemakers only, please.
Right.
So we're gonna get one over here.
Hey, guys. So all four of you for like 2 days straight. Saw Aisha earlier. I mean, sorry, Karen.
Karen.
I answered to both. It's okay.
I was looking at David. I was looking at David over there rocking the red. Is like something you want to tell us?
We were telling him.
Well, I did originally audition for the Red Ranger, but I didn't get that part, so I switched over to Billy the Blue Ranger. So I'm just trying to re-emulate what I really wanted.
Trying to go for.
We all have an inner Red Ranger.
You know what it really is? I wasn't good enough to be the blue one, so they made me be red. He was talented enough to do both, so they're like, hey, let's put you over here because this guy's a slacker.
Okay, the question I've been meaning to ask you, because I was going back and forth trying to figure this out, just looking up, checking it out, seeing if anybody else asked you this, and I think I got all four of you. Because at one point or another, all four of you had dealings with this one character, and Aisha almost, this is Aisha told off and whooped this person's butt, but whatever happened to Scorpina?
Oh!
Everybody loves her. They didn't want to whip her butt because she was so sexy.
She was hot.
They wanted to be her. They really wanted her to stay around.
I'm like, who needs Angela if we got Scorpina?
Me, my character was like, okay, girl, you're getting. We've had enough of you distracting the boys. Let me take you out. I mean, that was the whole point of that.
And as soon as she was done, I was like, what you doing later?
Right.
Oh!
You need to stop by my house because, wow.
Yeah. I saw her, though, at Orphicon. I think she started her own organization and she's kind of doing stuff with kids now, so autistic kids.
On a scale of 1 to 10, yummy.
It's hot outside and bow ties are cool. Doctor, what do you have to say?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, wow. Yeah. My voice sounds so weird on this microphone right now. Anyway, I actually asked Austin this question at our booth yesterday, but I'm going to ask it again so you three can answer as well. Do you recall any amusing or embarrassing things that might have happened on set, like something that was worthy of the boo-boo reel?
We need like 3 days to go over that kind of thing. You got something good?
Something that was embarrassing on set. There was one story that it was a joke, but it was kind of embarrassing. I am I'm missing a finger on my middle hand, on my left hand, and it's okay. It doesn't hurt anymore.
Oh, good.
But we made a joke with. Wardrobe, so they had this mannequin in the costume room, and it was a brown mannequin, and they colored it, I think it was a double for something, for some stunt they did. Anyway, they took the finger off, and I put it in between my fingers, so I had, I had five fingers in my left hand, so we were doing this scene, and we were doing it's morphin' time, like, so it's time to do morph, so we're in the middle of the scene, we go, it's morphin' time, and I do it, and the wardrobe girl goes, hold on, sorry, and she runs in, and she grabs the pin, and she goes, okay, now we're ready. It was a joke, I was in on a joke, so it was funny, but it was like, oh. It's just one of those stupid things we do.
And we were just like, oh, no, he didn't.
Next question over on this side.
All right, I just want to say thanks for coming, and, Karen, you mentioned the actress that does Scorpina works with autistic kids. I actually have autism, and when I was a kid, I obsessed over your show. I had all the toys, I had pajamas, I had everything. And anyway, my question is, was there ever a monster or villain that was so ridiculous that made you like laugh at the ridiculous of it?
All of them. I mean, anything could become a monster. Like, this water bottle would have been a monster.
Probably.
I mean, it's like, it was so funny how creative or how, like, I mean, they would take something so every day and make it into a monster. And I think that's what kind of added that extra cheese, you know, the G extra cheese kind of thing. But I mean, I think all of them, I think all of them at some point, I was just like, where do they come up with this stuff? But you guys loved it. So it was like, keep it coming, you know? Did you guys have one specifically?
I'll tell you what. I don't remember what episode it was, but it was way too soon because it never should have happened. I walked in and we generally, I mean, we would get the scripts, but by the time we made it to ADR where we did voiceovers, I was trying to remember what episode I was even looking at, and they'd hand you the sides and, you know, you'd watch a few footage and be like, okay, I remember this. But that didn't mean you'd seen the monster yet. And I remember walking in and there was this big pudgy like pink thing. I was like, what is that? And then they rewound a couple areas and like, oh, that's a purse.
I think that was fun.
That's something I expect from my 5-year-old son. Oh, daddy, the purse turned evil, you know? I was like, are we running out of that many ideas? Or like, somebody left their purse on the table and somebody went, I have a great idea. You know what I mean?
Monster.
Come on. So that was, for me, I couldn't believe we had a pink purse monster.
We had, it's funny because when we walk into the set, there were monsters lining on the wall, and like there was upstairs. So along the wall, they had all the monster suits. So, and when you walked in, you were like, oh, there's Pudgy Pig, and there's Toy Strizer, and all these weird monsters. And we had on set one day, we had I think it was the Soccadillo monster. It was like this round ball. It was basically essentially a ball, and we had to fight it in this park where we were teaching this kid how to play soccer. And turn
oh,
it
yeah,
into
I
a
remember
monster.
That one.
And basically, it was just a big old ball. And what was funny is when we were filming it, they had a couple of PAs like on the side with cords, and they were running it up and down the hill, and we're like jumping over it and doing flips and fighting this big old soccer ball, which was different, yeah.
And these two PAs, they had attached to wires, and this thing was heavy. I mean, it wasn't light. These guys are having to run this thing up and down the hill at us, and they're off camera. And these guys, they made triathletes look weak. It was, I felt bad for them. I was like, somebody get them some water.
Right.
Anyway.
All right, you over here, sir.
Hi, first I want to thank you guys for my childhood. I'm still watching 22 years later.
Yes!
And my question is, Jason David Frank has been calling out CM Punk on social media for years now, right? And I was just wondering if you guys wanted to see this fight happen, and if you did, who would you be pulling for?
Well, I of course want to see it happen. Because I want to see if he can really live up to, you know, his reputation. That would be Jason David Frank. But I would want Jason David Frank to win, obviously. I think it'd be a good fight if it really does happen.
You can't root against a Ranger.
Yeah, you can't root against a Ranger.
Right.
It's like girl code, Ranger code. Against a Ranger.
Right.
You said.
I know. I hope it happens because, like you said, it's been going on for years. Like, let's just get it. Let's just get it popping.
Right.
Give me courtside, front row seats, ringside seats.
Who would come to see that? Pay-per-view, maybe?
Woo!
Yeah.
There we go.
Rangers.
My question is, what happened to all the sets, the props, the costumes, helmets? Do you guys have any idea? Is it in a warehouse somewhere or destroyed?
Probably everything.
I have seen, somebody told me that one of my suits, what's the auction house?
Planet Hollywood.
I can't remember what it's called. One of these upscale auction houses. I was told.
Sotheby's.
I don't know if it's true, but I was told that my suit went for some obnoxious price, like several hundred thousand dollars. No idea if it's true.
Right.
And I sure didn't get a cut. I would have liked that. But
right.
I don't know where my original gear is. I left all of it on the show. I don't have any of it. I was trying to be respectful when I left, so I didn't take anything. But man, I should have.
Right.
I imagine obviously all the sets were destroyed, but like all this, like the original suits and stuff like that, the show's been sold so many times to like ABC and Disney and then back to Saban. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of it, unfortunately, has probably been lost in that process, but I'm sure there is some stuff locked up somewhere. The movie suits, I know, you can find at either Universal Studios Orlando. Mm-hmm. I know my suit's up in Niagara Falls at a Planet Hollywood, so different Planet Hollywood, you can see our movie suits, but that's the only thing that I really know are on display.
Yeah, the Hollywood Studios has the pink and the yellow Ranger. They're pretty thrash, but they're in there. People send me pictures all the time, like, in front of it. So it's cool. Yeah, but I think, yeah, like you said, I think a lot of it just has been lost along the way. And then it's funny, but, like, people who've met the prop guys, like, they're collectors who they'll have random things that came from the show that the prop guys, I guess, just had sitting around. And, you know, they either got rid of or gave to someone, so.
All right, Blue Mom and Child.
First off, thank you for coming out here. As you can see, me and my other half kind of grew up on it, and we are indoctrinating the youth.
Yay!
And she would like to say hi. Say hi.
Hi.
She absolutely loves you, and she had a question, but she's too shy to ask it.
Okay.
She wants to know, which Megazord was your favorite?
That's a good question.
Well, I gotta say, I'm pretty attached to Tirana, Pyrrha, Red Dragon, Thunderzord.
Ow!
I had three of them, so they're all my favorite.
Nice.
So, a friend of mine who Walter met, Matt Cernacker from Random Gibberish, wrote a song called If I Had a Megazord. So the four of you, if you had a Megazord, what would you do?
Too hard at this time of day.
Y'all didn't see the Tyrannosaurus is parked out back next to the Ferrari. Ballet, you should have seen him when I handed him the keys to that bad boy. I was like, he eats a lot. Be careful.
I say if I had my Mastodon, I'd do a lot of off-road.
Woo!
There you go.
Yep.
Karen?
Jesse, if you tied, you'd be running.
Well, if I had a saber-tooth tiger griffin thunderzord power, I would, or the bear. I think off-roading would be good. I think, I'd probably travel the world in that thing, man. It seems like you'd get some good gas mileage.
Excellent. Gentlemen over here.
Hi, guys. My name is Christian. It's an honor to meet you. My question is for Austin and Walter, that why they left on season 2?
Money.
Uh-oh.
You know, it's pretty simple. David just gave a great example of some hard decisions he had to make in his life and things that he had to go through to ultimately, and with amazing grace, led him to be the man that he is today. And we're all proud of that. Walter, well, I won't speak for him, but I know at the time he was with me, we had seen some discrepancies that we didn't believe were right, and we chose to make a stand. Our objective wasn't to leave the show. I had told the show from the get-go that if things didn't change, I would leave. And I stuck to my word. Things didn't change. There was some contractual disputes. I wasn't looking to be a rich man, but I wanted to be able to buy a house. I wanted to be able to not worry so much about paying my bills. And, you know, we were doing okay, but the owner of the show made $1 billion. The show was non-union. I knew that he was taking advantage of myself and some of my co-stars, and I chose to make a stand. And I had no idea how much it would affect each of you, or at least so I've been told, but I wouldn't change it. I'm glad I made my decision. I'm glad I stood my ground, because that's what I still do today.
Austin.
As a fan, I support your decision.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a hard decision. I mean, it was something that we, like Austin said, we didn't want to leave the show. It wasn't our intention. I wish, for one, that I had done the movie. It was something I was excited about. But in the end, it was what it was. But gratefully, we started something that continued to grow, and that has continued to grow. And here we are 21 years later. So thank you guys for that.
So Austin, your life took a different turn after that, and you went into a different line of work, but recently you came back to acting and did completed a film called Survival's End. Can you tell us a little bit about the film and how it was getting back into acting?
Survival's End is a post-apocalyptic, end-of-the-world survival story. And we shot a trailer to help with financing. We've got it out with distributors right now to continue to collect funds for the actual rest of the shoot. The movie is going to shoot in St. Paul, Virginia, the remainder of it. And it's, disease wipes out the world. My character comes back, kind of parallels my real life, comes back as a medic from the Middle East, as a special operations guy. My family dies, I come back and I find survivors, and I become a leader of a group of people that are trying to live through this post-apocalyptic world, and there are government entities, and there are other, people trying to survive, and everybody's doing what they do and trying to survive. And I don't have to tell you, some are less than friendly. So it's meant to be a thriller. It's not an action piece. The writer wrote it before I met him. We are gonna shoot an alternate ending, though, where we see some horrible stuff, and guys are going to be coming at me with machetes and ice picks. And so those of you that, want to see Kung Fu Theater, because I know you do, we're going to throw something in there in the end. We're also going to do what's called Hide the Egg. In a few areas, this world is old, it's going to be all covered in dust, stuff like that. So, I'll walk into a garage somewhere, dust everywhere, hasn't been opened in years, and you'll see a dirt bike or something, and there'll be a helmet on the dirt bike covered in dust, but it's going to be a particular helmet. maybe I'll be clearing a house looking for
Spoiler
the enemy.
Alert!
So, well, it's something that only Ranger fans will appreciate. I'll be clearing a room looking for the enemy, and on the wall, as you come in, maybe a really dusty covered picture of Trini.
Whoa.
Or something along those lines. So,
nice.
We're,
Spoiler alert!
I gotta pay some respects to my people, and we're gonna throw something out there. Part two is being written, and that's gonna make Rambo look like weak sauce.
Nice.
So there's stuff coming, man. It's really cool. But I want to get back to talking about you.
Yeah, can't wait. We got a young man right here.
What was your favorite scene on set? Your favorite scene on the show?
My favorite scene was always when we had a dance. I'll tell you why. Because when you film TV, there's really not any music playing when you're filming, so you act like there's music.
We should reenact
and they,
it.
And they say,
yeah.
You guys
want to
reenact?
Yeah.
So imagine this is like Angel Grove High School, and one of you guys have to be a girl.
Yeah, exactly. You just be like, yeah.
What's up? What's up?
And then you're done, you're like, I can't believe I just did that.
And then they add music at the end, so you're dancing to nothing, and all of a sudden, you see it, and they put in some music, it's like, dum 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 dum.
It's like totally different from what you were doing.
Like, okay, I wasn't dancing to that rhythm, but okay.
So Walter, do you ever get tired of hip-hop keto, or do you still love it today?
No.
Hip-hop keto is a fictional form of martial arts that was created by me for the Power Rangers, because that was Zach's form of martial arts. I can't say that I get tired of it because I don't do it, but I've always been a passionate dancer. I've always loved dancing, and dancing is something I continue to do today. I am a world champion salsa dancer. You can Google me. And, I also do all kinds of Latin styles, so right now I'm learning Kizomba, which is an Angolan form of dance, and I'm also learning Zouk, which is Brazilian, so
bless
it's
you.
Fun, it's, thank you. It's fun, it's sexy, I love it.
Very nice. You're here.
Hey guys, nice to see you again.
Hey, bro.
First of all, I'd like to say thanks for coming. I've been watching you guys during half of the season. You guys make my childhood real proud and stuff, so I got a question for all of you. Do you guys feel proud to be in the show?
Looking at you guys, how could we not be proud of what
right.
we do?
Yeah.
definitely restored our love for what we did 20 plus years ago, and it's such an honor to be a part of your lives so deeply. And I love it, you know, that you guys, we get to now, present day, get to spend time with you, get to know you, and get to meet you face to face. So you guys give us way more than we could ever give you, so thank you.
And you grew up, which is crazy.
You're all taller than us.
I'm like, sometimes people bring us pictures of us, like, with you when you were kids. It's like, I've seen pictures of me hugging, like, kids that are, like, this big, and then they come in and they're hugging me like, what's up, Walt?
Like,
how did this happen?
Or they roll up and they're like, I thought you'd be bigger. Like, I thought you were smaller.
You guys
what
are
happened?
So disappointed when you're like, I thought you guys were taller.
Gentleman over here.
Hey y'all, speaking of growing up, somebody like me who watched you when I was 5, and I got my black belt in karate because of it. But 10 years ago, I dealt with something that was a lot more, like I said, growing up. I lost my father, and if the gentleman could answer first, and then we end with Karen, what was it like losing Thuy back in 2001, and then how do you still remember and commemorate her?
Well, as you well know, it's always hard to lose a loved one, and especially a family member, and for me, Thuy was like our family, you know, like we built something together, and we went through a lot of experiences together, and we had more than a friendship, because truly we did grow together, you know, there's nothing like what we went through together. So losing that family member is something that, you know, you hate, and you can't do anything about it, but it's part of the circle of life. People that come into your life are not always meant to stay in your life, and the way I look at it is you just have to appreciate everything positive that you got from them, because that was the gift that you got, you know what I mean?
I mean, yesterday, I don't know, I'm sure, yeah, we all signed this picture yesterday. Some gentleman, brought a picture of him when he was a kid, of him and Thuy sitting on a bench like at a mall. And it was so crazy for me to see that picture, because she was so beautiful. She had the most amazing laugh, and so obviously it was like, it's like a huge shock, you know. I just remember getting the phone call from Amy Jo called me and told me that Thuy had passed away in a car accident, and you know, it's really sad, obviously, to lose someone that you worked with, and that I got to go through such an amazing experience with. So, but every time I keep seeing pictures of her, I just like, I'm always amazed at how pretty she was, and I just always remember her laugh.
You know, there's all sorts of ways that we talk about beauty. And, you know, we have magazines and we have society that dictate to us through pictures and imagery what is beauty. So we have all these peoples and all of these magazines and literature that tell us what it is. But on a base human level, we don't need any of that, because when you meet someone that is truly beautiful, and I'm not talking just about the outside, it doesn't come with a description. In fact, I don't think there are words for that. Thuy was one of these people who, her beauty grew from the inside. The outside paled in comparison to the beauty that was on the inside. So, she was amazing. I was in a different place, and I didn't find out till years later that she had passed away. And it hit me a lot harder than I would have thought after so many years, but, she was very special in so many different ways. She's a wonderful woman.
Yeah. For me, I mean, it was always an honor, because when we came on the show was a hit, you know, and so I remember getting my Yellow Ranger, you know, putting it on for the first time, and inside it said Trini. You know, it was her costume, so they just tailored it to fit me. But it was always like, we always felt like we were, you know, stepping into some huge shoes, because they were so popular. And for me, it was just, I mean, I think it's we're tied. I think, you know, as a family, as a Ranger family, but when you lose one of your own, it's just devastating. I mean, I still to this day, I mean, she's gone way too soon. But for me, it's such an honor to share that piece of history with her. And so it's like when I come to cons and stuff, I really like to connect with people. I really like to spend time, and I do that, you know, because I like to do that. It's in me to do that, but also because I know that, you know, I'm kind of tied to her in some sort of way. And so I want your experience with a Yellow Ranger to be the best experience you could possibly have. But I've heard so many fantastic stories about her, and I met her briefly, and it was literally like 2 weeks after they'd left the show, so it was an awkward time. Like, I, you know, here I am at a party at their house, just randomly, and I, you know, someone walks me up and go, oh, here's a new girl, you know, and it was just really awkward, but she was so nice and so sweet, and she just smiled, and it was never any kind of weird energy. So, I mean, I don't know, I just feel so honored to have been a part of something she was a part of, you know, and to share that piece of history, of Power Ranger history, with her, so.
Hi, I'm Walter. I heard through the grapevine you're a dancer. I'm the guy that did in the Baltimore riots, that did the Michael Jackson.
Oh yeah.
Wow. What's up, man? I love you.
Awesome.
I love you.
Thank you. So I was thinking, since you dance, could I come up there and entertain you guys real quick, just for a snit, and get you to do something with me, please?
Oh. Well,
yeah, man, I love that. I love that. Come on up.
I love this guy. You know why? Because through all that chaos and through all that pain and through all that craziness, you made so many people smile and just like take a deep breath, you know? All right, we got music? Anybody got some music?
Dance is such an amazing thing, and it has the possibility of curing people, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's something that I think, I recommend everybody to dance. If you don't dance, it doesn't matter if you dance well, but if you can dance, if you can just express yourself, and I mean, it releases stress, it keeps you young, there you go. You know what I'm saying? Dance is such an amazing thing, and in a moment like that, within a riot where, you know, you got people going crazy, there's tension, for somebody, for this brother to go there and start dancing, like, the news didn't know what to cover. They're like, do we cover the riot or the police or this brother's dancing Michael Jackson right here? You know, but he shared that, and it took away some of the tension. It made things a little different, and thanks for being positive in that moment. That was awesome.
You have over here.
I gotta say one thing real quick.
Sorry.
You said dancing was what kept you young?
There's that. And
all these years you've been telling me it was coconut oil and sleep.
I never said that. I said it's coconut butter and positivity.
It's that melanin, baby.
That's what it is.
All right.
Zach don't crack. That's what it is.
Woo!
Hi, so I met all of you just a few minutes ago. Unfortunately, like the other guy, I wanted to take martial arts, and in a half Asian household, my mom was like, girls don't do that. You know, and I was like, Trini does it, look at her.
Yeah.
Didn't work. My question for all of you is, I try to rack my brain for something that was hopefully never asked before or very rarely asked. If I were to turn on your iPod or any MP3 player, CD, whatever, what would be the first song that would play right now?
I listen to such a diverse type. I mean, I literally listen to everything from hip hop to pop to. I'm from Texas, so it's like I even have country. Uh oh, we're getting live feed. What do we got? Let's see. What's there?
Oh,
I'm all about EDM, so mine's always electronic dance music.
There's some songs, I mean, you talk about dance being expression, I love music. So I've got stuff from all over the world, but there are times you just want to get down, you just want to jam, and you don't care who's watching. You put on Enter the Sandman, even people that don't like rock are like, that's cool. So that's how I roll.
Mine is going to have something that makes your booty go, uh-oh. Bootylicious, yeah.
Nobody's gonna start twerking, are they? Be careful.
You know, I'm a big fan of neo soul, so I mean, woo! I want to hear some of that old school, like some Jill Scott or some NDIRE, or you know, like I like Mikael. That's the kind of music I really listen to a lot. That and Kizomba music.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was a fun question. Thank you. We've never been asked that before.
Now back over here.
Jello, your friendly neighborhood Arsenio here. I guess they really did assemble a team of teens with attitude. With that said, I wanted to know, was there a lot of liberties given between the script writers and the directors to let you guys sort of improv off each other while acting on the show? And that impacted the episodes that we see?
I mean, I know from my character, yeah. I mean, I think they gave us a lot of freedom, at least for me. In the beginning, they really wanted Billy to be super, super nerdy. But as time progressed, hopefully if you watched all the seasons that I was on, you saw Billy go from being super nerdy to really, like, coming into himself and becoming a real man and being confident in who he is and still being super intelligent and being able to fight and having a lot of girlfriends. But they definitely let me influence my character. Because I started taking Billy away from speaking all these hard words that Trini had to interpret to being able to speak to his friends on a normal level. I asked to have Billy remove the glasses. I know some people get really mad about that. So I apologize if you wear glasses and you get upset because Billy lost his glasses. He got contacts. Sorry. But there's nothing wrong. I wear glasses. There's nothing wrong with wearing glasses. But yes, for me, they let me. I won't speak for them.
I think in the beginning they were pretty adamant about the directions that they had written the characters. I think pretty quickly they began to understand that we each brought something unique to these characters, and that each of you was able to identify with one or several or all of us in some way. And at that point, we started, I think that we had more artistic freedom to make these characters who we believe they should be. And I think that you guys supported that, so.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think we were all pretty close to our characters except for David. Like, David was never a nerd. David was like so cool. He was on the set like, yo, what's up?
Doesn't seem like it. And he was an incredible gymnast. Like, out of all the gymnastics, this guy, he was the player. I was like, watch this guy tumble. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, his skills are sick with it. But I think what happened was, I know with Zach, we did, I got a lot more leeway. Like, at some point, it became the directors, we would tell the directors, we were like, no, my character wouldn't do that. So, and they're, so you're gonna stand over here when the putties, like, if the putties or somebody was attacking us, and I was with the girls, because I've always been really protective over ladies. I'm a gentleman, right? So, if something's going down, then I'm stepping up right away. I'm gonna be cavalier in that way. And Zach, like, if I was with Trini or Kimberly, and something happened, I would always step forward, like, I got this. And they could always go, no, we got this, right?
Right. But,
so I remember a time where a director was like, okay, so Trini's gonna do this, and I would be able to say, nah, you know, Zach wouldn't just stand back. He would come up, and he would take care of it. Even if she said, all right, stay back, I got it, at least she would do that. So we had some freedom to tell people what our characters would do as we went along.
I think with us, when we came on, like I said, the show was established. So they really wanted us to come on and kind of do our own thing. They kind of wanted us to be different from the people that left the show. And so for me, it was great because we were young. So it was like acting for us was very close to your own personality. So I tried to make Aisha as different as she could be from all of the other girls or even the other Rangers, just because you
crazy.
Wanted to, you know? So I added extra sass and extra, you know, I just wanted her to be fun, you know? And like you said, the girls got to, it was so cool to be in a position where the girls could go, I got this. Like, we're not little, you know, girls who can't, we're gonna sit and cry in the corner. We're not gonna be victims, we're gonna be superheroes also.
Right.
So that was awesome. That was really, really cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Real quick, let's bring it over here. Almost out of time.
Well, I just got here a little late. So, for one thing, Colleen, my wife, where are you? Oh, okay.
That's what we're doing.
Okay, I was just seeing relevant for
that's how he rolls right there.
Like, let me call my wife before I ask this question, you know?
And then, like I said, I don't know if this question's been asked yet, but the romance, and everybody thinks, you know, what I'm talking about between Tommy and Kimberly. Mm. Was there like anything that actually happened?
Oh. No!
Let me get this straight. You showed up. Hold on. Let me get this straight. You showed up late to the game, had to find your wife on the microphone. And then in front of your wife and everybody else, you're like, who's getting down on the show? I didn't know they made Weibos that large. That's crazy. I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but I would tell you that we ran a professional set. And if anything ever had happened, would put that out in a place like this. But I can tell you that I never witnessed or saw anything like that.
Just so you know, Jason David Frank was married when we were on the show. And Amy Jo was engaged, so, you know, to make up rumors like that, I mean, it's, you really gotta understand people's personal lives before, you know, really maybe stating a question like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's a bunch, I know there's some people like, oh, we want to see, Billy and Trini or Jimberly or, you know, whatever it is. I get emails all the time, like, oh, it's Jimberly. I'm like, no.
No.
Man, didn't go that way. Much love, but that wasn't our thing. You know, we did our jobs and we were professionals.
And you're with these people all day long. I mean, it gets to a point where, I mean, we spent more time with each other than we did with our own families. So, I mean, it's just, it would have complicated things way too much. So we all kind of just came and we worked and we had a great time.
Although I do have to say that if Karen and I had been on the show at the same time, I might have had to boogie with the bear.
You know?
Who's next?
I just want to confirm, do we have to wrap this now, or who's directing here? Yes? Oh, we're allowed to go all the way? Never mind. Okay, great. Please, you.
Awesome. Wonder Woman.
Hi, I'm sorry, give me a second here. I just wanted to say I'm a really, really big fan. I watched with my older brother for years, and we would even play Power Rangers. My mom got mad because we drop-kicked my sister.
Tell your mom, with or without Power Rangers, you would have drop-kicked her anyway. But it's because of you. We got letters.
Do I have to do another Dear Mama, I'm so sorry video today? Because I did one of those the other day.
That would be lovely. I just wanted to say that I have anxiety, and it kind of helped me through those issues. So I just wanted to say, David, that I can really identify with Billy as a character because I had to, you know, try and find a way to just kind of like come to terms with it and still trying to. My question is kind of pertaining to something similar to that. Was there a scene for all of you that was the hardest scene that you ever had to do because you had a hard time identifying with your character?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I don't know that there was a hard scene. I do remember in a script, there was something that was written for my character to do. And when I got the script, I was like, oh God, I can't do this. And it was like to act like an ape. I had to open my chest and like act like an ape. But somewhere in the process, the heavens aligned and they wrote Zach to do it. They rewrote it, because I got the script and I had a panic attack, and suddenly the next rewrite of the script, Walter had to do it. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So that worked out for me.
And that's how it goes down, right?
But tell me, will you tell me your first name?
Ray.
Ray?
Mm-hmm.
So when everybody else is done, I want to come give you a hug, okay?
Thank you. Aww.
What I found getting to know all of you and getting to meet you is that Power Rangers, like you guys, you know, you always come up and, you know, like the first line we get from everyone was, you were such a big part of my childhood. But it's so heartwarming for us to know that this show was able to help you through your anxiety or help people become martial artists or just empower individuals. Like, that's such a blessing, because it is a journey. It's totally a journey of finding out who you are and being comfortable in your own skin. And the fact that this show was able to help you along that path is such a blessing for us. And getting to know you now and seeing you as beautiful as you are, you know, turn out so great. That's so cool. So kudos.
You know, I'm gonna step away from the show for a minute. And I understand that it was a huge piece of your past. But I step away from the show because I want to take a moment to pay my respect to the woman that's standing here right now.
Yes.
It took a lot of courage, knowing that anxiety has been a portion of some of the struggles of your life. And you managed to walk up here in front of a crowd and the lights, the microphone, and speak your mind. And there's a power that comes from inside. Nobody gave that to you. You had to find it yourself, and that's what you brought to the microphone, and that's what you shared with us all here today. And that's what I see and respect right now. So, thank you, love. You did a great job.
Come up here, Ray. We'll all give you a hug, okay?
I need some Ray love.
Hugging all of you through her, just
It is morphin' time every day, isn't it?
She gives good hugs.
Gentlemen here.
Calm down.
So you guys mentioned that a lot of your fans have like grown up from childhood and stuff like that, and I think that's pretty well reflected in a lot of the stuff you see on the internet now. Every now and then you'll see like a fan-made or a semi-professional or a professionally made little vignette of something Power Rangers related. Like, there was that video of like the White Ranger versus Scorpion that came out a while ago, and then there was that like hyper gritty, like post-apocalyptic thing that came out. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but it was a pretty neat thing to
see. We addressed that in the first question.
Yeah. But when you guys see stuff like that, do you have like a personal reaction to that? Is that for you? Do you still feel like a connection to it? Do you feel like that's the next logical extension of something as it matures over multiple decades, or what?
I think my opinion, you're talking about the Joseph Kahn video, the really gritty Power Rangers take. I try to stay out of hype. I'm not in negativity. I don't want it on my page. I don't live with it. I don't use it to get likes. That's not my thing. When it came to the video, I released my professional opinion and kept my personal opinion out of it. My professional opinion is based on something that this country is founded on, which is each and every one of you has a right to have your own vision, to have your own beliefs, to stand up and be who you are, just like Ray did right there. Mr. Khan put together his vision of what he thought Power Rangers was, or what he could make it. Professionally, he put together a well-executed video. It was well-directed, the actors did a great job, the effects were incredible, the storyline was clear, and it was easily visible on screen. And they did a really good job on a professional level putting together a project. Personally, holy crap. You know, I mean, that was insane. But, you know, we all have visions. I'm not gonna tell any other man or woman that they shouldn't have one because it's not in line with something that I personally think.
I have to say that I think anytime somebody sets out to emulate our show in any way or emulate something that's similar to our show, it's really kind of a compliment to us in the fact that, you know, here's something that we created, an American version, 20 years ago, and the fact that more versions of it are coming out or you know, comedy spoofs on it or whatever, it keeps it, you know, prevalent in the minds of people and people that don't know about Rangers, they go back and they gotta find out, what is this about? So, in that aspect, I appreciate the fact that it's still on the minds of people.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Keep the legacy alive.
Are you here in the middle?
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to meet you all.
You too.
As a kid, I had to tape the show because it was on slightly earlier than school let out, but I loved your show and I'm very grateful for your performances. Thank you very much.
Sweet, thank you.
All of you are on the panel and those who could not be with us today, all of you are amazing, talented people. On the show and outside. Walter has told us he's a world champion salsa dancer. Karen has been a successful actress for a very long time. Austin's previously been an EMT, a firefighter, a martial artist, and David's a producer. And off the panel, Johnny Young Bush does voice acting, Amy Jo's a singer. My question is, how do you feel that your successful professional lives outside of Power Rangers affected the success of your performances before the show, and how has the show affected your talents after it was over? Thank you very much in advance.
For me, I was very honored to play such a smart character because he encouraged me to read the dictionary a lot more, which eventually caused me to go and get a master's degree. So even after Power Rangers, thank you, I went back to school and got a master's degree. So, you know, and I studied, in my master's, I studied psychology and science and religion. All together. It's called Consciousness Studies, sort of like transpersonal psychology. And so I got to sort of live a lot of what went on in Billy's head, especially the science part of it. Mm-hmm. So my character helped me to become smarter.
I think you guys inspired me. I was 17 when I started on the show, signed a contract a week before my 18th birthday. So I was still trying to figure out who I was. I had no idea. And I grew up on the show, and I remember watching some of you come up, hiding behind mom's legs, looking at me with the big doe eyes. And I suddenly went, he really believes I'm a superhero. This would have been me when I met Superman at age 5. And that was powerful for me because I felt like now I had to live up to it. So I ended up leaving the show, and I had to go through some times figuring out what I was gonna be when I grew up. Eventually, I finished up my first degree, then I got a second degree in emergency medicine. And I got into emergency medical services, became a paramedic. I went through flight medicine, I went through tactical medicine, and I wanted to be at firehouses. And I decided that maybe when each of you at some point, or one of you or one of your family members in your darkest hour had to call 911, I wanted to be that guy. So that's who I became.
We got one more.
Well, for me, it's being, like I said on the show, it was so empowering to be a woman, but to also be a superhero. And like you said, I mean, it's like you guys really believe that we were those heroes. So it was like, you need to rise to the occasion. So I feel like Aisha's in there, you know, my inner Power Ranger is always there, because there are many times, you know, as an actor, you go, you're gonna get a million more no's before you get yeses, you know? So it's a very tough business and very tough on you as a person, your psyche, everything. So for me, it's like, you know, you have to believe that you're gonna make it, you're gonna do it, and you're gonna, you know, get an opportunity to do other parts. So I use that in my everyday life, you know. I always face the day positively, and I always face the day like, I'm gonna own it, you know, I'm gonna make it happen. And you know, and I was so blessed to be a part of this. So it's ingrained in me, for sure.
I think the show inspired me just to continue on and to continue to believe that I had talents and that I could do more. You know, when I left the show, Power Rangers, I went on and have my own show on Nickelodeon called Space Cases, which is, and I was the star of the show. I mean, I was the lead character. I think before Power Rangers, I probably never thought that I would have had an opportunity to do that. And then I went on to work on other shows like The Shield with Michael Chiklis, which won a Golden Globe and an Emmy Award. And working with that kind of caliber of talent, I felt comfortable. I felt confident that I was able to, you know, I was going to be able to do what I needed to do. So as an actor, making my living as an actor over the last 20 years, I think Power Rangers really gave me confidence to know that I am talented and that I could make a career out of it. So it inspired me. And it also taught me to be a role model. So. It's encouraged me to take that gift and to speak to people and to go around and encourage other people to follow their dreams.
Well, unfortunately, we seem to be out of time, but I want to thank everybody here: David Yost, Austin St. John, Karen Ashley, Walter Jones, your Power Rangers.
Guys, and some faces I don't. So if we haven't met you, please go to our booths. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to, you know, talk to you more. And thank you, DC. Thank you. You guys are amazing.
Thank you. Awesome, Tom.